Brother Dana, brother mine, delivers you best worst case scenario podcast.
Would you ever buy a Ford car?
I don't know, man.
I
don't know about cars.
Car or truck. Ford.
Dude, I'm not a car guy. I don't give a shit. As long as it drives, I could care less what kind of car it is.
Wow.
I'm a simple man.
Yeah.
I have simple beginnings.
You save a lot of money by being a simple man. Or you can.
Wow. Already rhyming. Already dropping those funky
beats. I'm not
beats.
Rhyming. I'm just thinking of Simple Jack. Simple Jack. He didn't have a car. He just had a hammer.
Yeah.
And butterflies.
You know who else had simple beginnings?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us. God damn.
Okay. Try to do it like Lincoln.
I know. I'm trying. I'm lost the Lincoln.
Okay. Find it again.
How do I get the fucking Abe Lincoln back?
It's
old Mary Todd. Old Mary Todd. It's like a little whiny bitch, boy.
Say some more.
Old Mary Todd. It is rather for us to be here, dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause, for which they gave the last full measure of devotion.
Wow, man, you sounded exactly like Abraham Lincoln right there. How did you do that?
I am Abraham Lincoln.
Don't I can see you in a top hat right now, man.
I am Abraham.
Dana,
what year is it?
Dana's doing some method acting.
Why am I in front of this mic thing?
In all honesty, though, ever since we watched that movie, Abraham Lincoln, you haven't been able to stop doing the Lincoln.
Doesn't it sound like a sloppy swish dance? Like some kind of TikTok thing?
What? What?
You said doing the Lincoln.
Oh.
It sounds like a thing kids do these days.
I think you're also channeling his Alzheimer's, man.
Doing the Lincoln. The only one doing the Lincoln was old Mary Todd.
Jeez, I don't want to think about that at all, man. Let's not go there.
Unfortunately, she was never young Mary Todd. She was always old Mary Todd.
Okay, but Abraham Lincoln, Dana, I'm talking to Dana.
Yes.
This is Mayan over here.
This is Abraham Lincoln.
And yeah. Let's get into who he was.
He was. Sorry, I have to decompress.
Yeah. Dana needs an exorcism to get that Lincoln out of him.
I was like 55 years old. But I was almost 7 feet tall. It's a nice feeling.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln. He was a cool dude with
Was he really 7 feet tall?
With the hat. With his stovepipe hat, his really tall top hat, he stood at 6'4", which was a fucking giant back then because the average height for a man was like 5'6".
That only that long ago?
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
I know, they put miracle growth in our GMO food.
Not in ours.
Well, that's genetics, man.
Okay, so he was a tall motherfucker.
He was for his time and in general. And then he would put on that hat and he would look like a fucking statue.
It's like Slender Man.
Pretty
much. Your president Slender Man.
He was Slender Man with a beard. Slender Man rode. He ran the country for a little bit. But yeah, Abraham Lincoln, he is what regarded as one of the best, if not the best president in all of history, mostly because of the 13th Amendment that he pushed across the line.
Yeah.
With whatever it took, blood and
Lots of blood.
Right. And you're right. A lot of people know him as maybe the best president of the United States. He was actually known for a lot of things, though, because he was a lawyer. He was a legislator, an opponent, like you said, of slavery.
What wasn't he? That's the question.
He was also a wrestler, right?
Yeah, he was. I think he won like 300 matches. He lost 300? Once. He lost once out of like 200 or 300 matches.
Jeez.
And I just picture him with a tank top on and a top hat, just fucking pinning people down Uncle Sam style. The way Uncle Sam pins you down with taxes.
Yeah. And then he did that to the South later on.
He did, yeah. He challenged each, leader, general, to a wrestling match. And if they lost, if you pinned him down for 7 seconds, they'd have to surrender.
Yeah. Might not be true. But
likely.
He was, he actually did have humble beginnings, though, because he was born in a tiny little one-room log cabin in a cab, or yeah, he was born in a cabin in Kentucky. In 1809.
Oh my God. All of that sounds terrible. Especially the Kentucky part.
And his parents were Nancy and Thomas Lincoln. And he didn't have much schooling. Actually, it was you who were telling me that he had, what, 3 years?
I thought it was like 3 months.
It's like 3 months?
It's like 3 months of schooling.
In Kentucky?
Yeah.
Man, that's not a lot of time.
It is for Kentucky.
Wow. If you're from Kentucky, I love you, okay?
If you made it 3 years, that's like a PhD.
Yeah. So he didn't have a lot of schooling, but he was very articulate. He had a bunch of charisma.
He was naturally like a go-getter. He was motivated to get the fuck out of Kentucky.
Well, he did. And he had to grow up super fast because he actually worked from a super young age to support his family.
Like 5 years old.
Yeah. He was shaving at 8.
His dad was Chinese.
Was he?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
That's where he gets the height. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God. God damn it. I'm so easy, man.
Was he?
I don't know, man.
I'm kidding.
I've seen some tall Chinese. Just forget I said Chinese. That.
Let's keep going.
Okay. God. So.
He was a good wrestler.
He was. And he... It was interesting because he had a start in politics when he was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 1846. Hmm. But a lot of people in Illinois where he served, didn't like him at all because he had a very strong stance of being...
I would say it was a very tall stance.
Yeah. He was anti the American-Mexican War.
Yeah, because... What?
Because he didn't want it. He didn't think it was necessary or
he looked down on it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And he was so unpopular that he didn't even seek re-election after that.
The Mexican War, right? Like he was already very for equality from a young age. It was like built into him.
Well, I don't know if those were his reasons, to be fair, for being opposed to it. But yeah, so he didn't seek re-election. And then in 1854, he got kind of like thrown back into politics because the Nebraska-Kansas Act, which pretty much declared voters had the right rather than the federal government to declare whether a territory was free or a slave state. So the act pretty much allowed it to be up to the territory to decide that and the voters there.
Wow. That's a big chunk of information.
Yeah, I know. That was a lot. But bear with me. So that act came out, the Nebraska-Kansas Act in 1854. And that same year, he ended up debating the guy who passed the act or helped get it passed in public before like a large crowd.
So it was like a public wedgie.
It was that he gave him. It was like a roast match.
Oh, and Abraham Lincoln did it better, huh?
Well... In that talk, he denounced slavery and he called it a violation of the most basic tenets of the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
And after that moment, he just slowly rose to national fame.
Because of his strong stance.
I think partly that it drew a lot of attention, both good and like negative attention.
Right. Probably. I mean, imagine Abraham Lincoln was 5'6". I don't think he would have made it to president.
Hey, man, that's not fair. Look at Napoleon. That dude did that's pretty well.
That's not a good...
that dude did well.
That's not a good comparison. But I'm just saying, like, I bet the height sort of really captured people. He stood out in the crowd, literally. Like,
yeah,
with the hat, you could spot him through. He's going to do a speech over there. I see the top hat. There he is.
You just see a top hat floating above
him. Mommy, he's over there. You know?
Yeah. No, he...
So I think the height really helped.
He commanded respect. You're right.
It was almost like you're on stilts the whole time.
Almost,
people, you're standing there next to your fucking, like, competitor, and you're looking down at him, talking. Like, obviously, the tall guy's the leader, because he's the tallest.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just saying.
And so it was actually a little bit after that. So that was in 1854. It wasn't until 1861, though, that he was inaugurated as the 16th president of the United States.
Yeah. He really was a badass. Considering, I think he also lost his mom when he was young, too. So he had a tragic sort of upbringing. And I think that tragicness fueled his career all the way into the presidency.
It's what made him the great man he came to be.
He's self-taught lawyer, self-taught president.
Old Nelson given wrestling star.
He's sort of hustling and bustling, trustling all over.
Yeah, he was a badass. He was elected in 1861. And then at that time, by the time he actually got elected, 7 states had already seceded from the U.S., to form the Confederate States of America.
7. Only 7?
Well, I think some followed after that.
Oh. As soon as he won presidency, right?
Yeah, because they were like, shit, we didn't vote for this guy. Like, you know, that was kind of the last straw that just like pushed a lot of these states over the edge.
And you can see some of that sort of echo even today when Trump won.
Yeah.
You know, presidency, a lot of states were like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Honestly, it seems like every election, a lot of people want to secede. It's just the thing to do, man.
It's really, really hard to stay united. That's what it is. But we keep on staying united.
Yeah. And then, like, right after that, the Battle of Fort Sumter happened in South Carolina, which kicked off the very bloody American Civil War. And check this out. 620,000 Americans died in that war, which, according to Google, is approximately equal to the total of American fatalities in the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, and World War II, and the Korean War combined.
Wait, what kind of casualties?
So 620,000 people died, right?
Right, Americans I know that part.
That was more than all of those wars I just listed combined.
Than all of the wars listed combined? The deaths and the wars?
So this was the worst war for America that we've ever had.
Man.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just this little like thing that happened.
A little civil war?
This little civil war that...
Oh, maybe because the word civil's in it?
Yeah, maybe
it's an uncivil war, man. They were stabbing and shanking each other because guns were shit back then.
Yeah, and if you got shot in the gut, you were done. And
everybody was bloodthirsty and looking for action because there was no Netflix or internet.
Yeah.
So, or podcast. They were bored out of their minds, so any chance they got, they would go to war, you know?
Right, and it was really interesting because we watched Abraham Lincoln... 2012, the Daniel Day-Lewis the movie, and
oh my god,
it gives you a cool look into...
It's one of the most action-packed movies I've ever seen.
Don't lie.
Daniel Day-Lewis lit it up. God damn, I was just on the edge of my seat the whole movie.
If by lit it up you mean rambled on for like the whole fucking movie, then yeah, he lit it up, man.
He was just telling stories, just like history says he did.
Yeah, because
he was apparently a big storyteller.
Yeah, like Lincoln's advisors are like, we were just attacked by the South, Mr. President.
You know, back when I rode the legal circuit in Illinois, I defended a woman from Metmora named Melissa Goings. 77.
Wait, I don't want to hear any more of your stories. We're in a war.
They said she murdered her husband. Now, he was 83. He was choking her.
I'm about to choke you, man.
She grabbed a hold of a stick of firewood and fractured his skull, and he died.
That's it. I'm joining the Confederates, man. that's it. That's the last straw. Goodbye, Lincoln. Goodbye.
You come back.
No, but the whole movie was pretty much him interrupting people to tell them really irrelevant stuff.
I wouldn't say interrupting. Pretty much just,
come out, you old rat. That's what he literally says.
He tries to subdue frantic, chaotic environments with these stories, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And he does a hell of a job. So much that people leave the room because they can't stand the stories.
Or they fall asleep in the rooms.
Yeah. God, could you imagine hearing a fucking story about Jefferson Davis at 3 a.m. in the war room?
Yeah. He
what kind of name is Jefferson Davis? I feel like that's the most fucking American name you could say. Jefferson Davis.
I think it's just everything Lincoln says sounds so American. Like, he's always talking about the year.
It's kind of like Tommy Lee Jones kind of fucking name. It's so old-fashioned.
Who was also in
the movie with some black locks. He was in the movie with some toupee.
Yeah.
The guy from Men in Black.
Yeah, he did have a toupee.
I'm glad it was revealed that he was wearing a wig, because I was like,
because you didn't buy it for a second.
Like, no, I know how old this guy is. Hair don't get that dark and lush at 60.
Yeah. And, you know, Lincoln in the movie, I feel like Daniel Day-Lewis's portrayal of him was actually like super, I don't want to say accurate because I wasn't there, but it felt like they really tried to make him true to history. Kind of like not only the like cadence that he spoke, but like how he interacted with his family. And you got to see a little bit of a glimpse into him and Mary Todd's relationship, who was his wife.
Mary Todd. She was a character just like him. It's kind of like oil and water.
Yeah, Lincoln married her in 1842, and she was from like a well-off family in Kentucky. And if I learned anything from the movie,
the one smart choice he made was marrying that wealthy Mary Todd.
No, if I learned anything from the movie, that was like his biggest mistake, man. She was kind of crazy.
I wish I never met that woman. I should have sent her to the damn mental asylum over in Illinois.
Lincoln, you never spent time with me.
Oh, shut up, Mary. Can't I have 10 minutes of peace and quiet without your nagging voice? You see me here every goddamn day in the White House.
You promised, Lincoln. You said you would.
All right, Mary, fine. We'll go see that damn play at the theater, and I'll just hope someone would shoot me in the head. God fucking damn.
And that's what happened, folks.
They just shoot me. Please.
He actually paid off the guy to take him out. No, but you know about that, don't you?
I know nothing.
Him getting assassinated at that play, there's a lot of theories about how that actually happened and conspiracy theories about what might have not been explained to the public.
This assassination in particular doesn't, it makes more sense of what happened, you know, like the conspiracies of it are sort of far flung. But basically, in it was 1865, I think. Yeah, April 14th, he was assassinated in the Ford Lincoln. The Ford, see, this is where it gets tricky because Ford owns Lincoln, the cars.
Wow. See, that's a conspiracy theory right there, man.
See, when I read this, I formed a conspiracy theory in my head because Lincoln went to a Ford theater and there he got fucked. And Ford, so Lincoln, the car company, it was bought.
I'm trying to follow you.
It was bought by Ford in 1922.
Okay.
That's just a random fact.
Okay. I thought that was pertinent to the...
No, it is.
I think you've traded in the top hat for a tinfoil hat, Dana.
But yeah, so he was killed. He was fucking watching a play called, I think, Our American Cousin, I think is the name of the play.
Weird name.
Yeah. So he's up in this little box thing for VIP presidents. And he's sitting there with his old Mary Todd.
Stick in the mud.
The stick in the mud, old Mary Todd. And like a 30-year-old soldier. And then the soldier's fiance. They're all in this little presidential box. And then this guy named, I think it's, what is it? It's John. It's John.
Wilkes Booth.
John Wilkes Booth. And isn't it funny that he kills them in a booth?
Oh my God.
The conspiracy.
Okay, but what does that mean about anything? So it's the same date. What are you extrapolating out from that, man?
I'm just saying there's a lot of weird coincidences going on in here.
Is history a bingo game for you, man?
That's what it feels like. Like, bing, I got it. His name's John Wilkes Booth. Killed him in a booth.
Ford so, Lincoln, yeah.
Came up behind him, popped him in the head. The bullet. It depends on which website you read, but sort of like through the government website, they say it entered through his ear and got lodged like right behind his eye.
He did have big ears, so
yeah,
makes sense. It went through his ear.
At least he wouldn't have to hear the Mary Todd talk anymore. So right after he shot him, the booth guy, John, he ran past him and jumped over the balcony.
Wow. He's like Mission Impossible.
Pretty much. Like, goddamn. Inglourious Basterds. Like, this whole scene is like a Quentin Tarantino movie.
In real life.
His leg gets caught on the flag, so he doesn't make a good landing and he breaks his leg. And everybody who's watching the play, see, this is a part I have to stop right now because the movie fucked this up. And I don't know why, because Steven, you little bitch, because you wouldn't show the assassination. You made it look like Mary Todd and her son were in a separate theater from Abraham, when in reality, they were like there the whole time.
They're probably with each splattered other. By the blood.
Well, nearby at least. So when this guy jumps off the balcony after he shoots him, everybody in the theater thinks it's part of the play for a while. They're like, oh, wow, this is crazy. And then as soon as they start hearing old Mary Todd screaming, they're like, oh, shit. And people are chasing this guy with the broken leg.
He's running with a broken leg.
He escapes. John Wilkes Booth escapes with a broken leg.
Wait, but did they catch him after or what?
Eventually, it took a little bit.
Man, he's fast with a broken leg, man.
It took, I think, a few days. It was like one of the biggest manhunts in history. They had so many fucking federal soldiers and detectives.
How long did you say it took?
I think it was a couple of days.
Okay.
But yeah, anyways, he escaped and then...
Was he executed?
He was shot in the neck during crossfire.
He had a gunfight with him?
Sort of. He was held out in a barn with some, I think, other accomplices. He had like four or five or six co-conspirators.
And he was a Southern sympathizer, right?
He was an actor.
He was an actor.
That's why it was like the perfect job. So he was an actor who was always sympathized with the South, the Confederates.
Mm-hmm.
But he stayed up in the north the whole time throughout the war.
He's like a sleeper agent.
And at first, him and like four people hatched a plan to just kidnap Abraham Lincoln and take him south, and then kind of like hold him for ransom and be like, you guys want a fucking war to end? Well, we're going to fucking kill you, fucking president.
Just like that.
Fucking, yeah. And then, but that didn't happen because Abraham didn't show up where they wanted. So like, fuck, we gotta do something fast. So 5 days later, you know, fast forward to the theater. That's it. And meanwhile, the whole time this is going down, one of the other co-conspirators is trying to assassinate, William Seward.
Oh yeah.
The
one of his cabinet guys, right?
The secondhand bitchy guy in the movie. That's always fucking mad.
And yeah.
Disgruntled.
So he was trying to assassinate
him. They were trying to assassinate him and another guy. They were trying to wipe out all these, the power players.
Uh-huh.
So his secondhand man, one of the co-conspirators broke into his house, beat his older son brutally because his son was trying to guard him from the bedroom. Because apparently Williams had recently suffered a carriage accident and was in bed.
So how bad can a carriage accident be, man? He's going like 5 miles per hour.
Probably got fucking ran by the wheels, man. Ran on over. But Powell, I think is the name of this would-be assassin. He fucking beat his son, went into the room, slashed his neck twice, and then...
Seward's?
Left, yeah.
So he didn't attempt to murder him. He did murder him.
He didn't die.
What?
Yeah, because...
You're telling me my man got in a carriage accident and then got his neck slit twice and he's still alive?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
He's pretty much red from Pineapple Express.
Oh my gosh. Like,
he's so fucked up.
You can't kill this man.
You can't kill him, even though you want him to die. at least the actor. I'm kidding. No, he survived only because he had a medical... He had a medal... A medical metal, god damn it, it's a metal like strap thing that was around his part of his body, so it prevented all the blood coming out, so he didn't bleed out like he would have normally because of these things that were there because of his accident. So he survived because of his carriage accident.
Wow.
A miracle. And he went on to serve like a seven more years,
man.
Anyways, this is like an Ocean's 12.
Yeah, I'm learning fucking, so much.
Like, I'm just like, yeah, popping off, man.
Keep on going, boom, man. Boom. Keep on going.
Yeah, so the biggest man hunt, they get John Wilkes Booth. His name is so terrible.
Sounds like a noun. It's like
J-W,
a fucking object.
I'm just going to call him JWB. So they killed him in the... They killed him in the neck.
In the cross.
Shot him.
He killed him in the neck.
Murdered him in the neck. So, he died.
So graphic.
Then what happened?
So let me sort of Christopher Nolan this. Let's go back a little bit. So right after he shot Lincoln in the head, bounced, they brought Lincoln over to this like boarding house across the street because they didn't have like fucking hospitals everywhere back then.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, this play happened at like, when he was shot, it was at 10:15 p.m. So yeah, it's kind of late. So they bring him over to this boarding house and the Surgeon General comes over to try and help and basically says, there's nothing I can do.
Because his eyeball's hanging out and he's got a bullet in his ear.
He's probably got a smile on his face because he can't hear. But
he's dead at this point.
No.
What?
That's the shitty part.
Oh man.
He was pretty much, after he got shot, he was paralyzed and he was still breathing. And they had him in this boarding house and Mary Todd and his sons came over there and like set up beds next to his room and just kind of hung out there with him because there's nothing they could do. Like the surgeon didn't want to attempt, you know, cutting into his brain. Not at that fucking era. So he probably would have
that's surprising him up. Seems like doctors in that era were just like, let's fucking cut in. Yeah, let's go,
let's cut into my brain.
Yeah,
get some IQ.
Nothing a saw can't fix.
Yeah. So he He died at 7:22 a.m. the next day. So he survived for 9 hours after the shot.
Fuck, man.
God, could you imagine?
Why didn't they just finish the job for him?
They're probably hoping he'd come back.
Yeah. He didn't have Seward's luck, though. So yeah. He died.
He got an earful.
And after he died, actually, so...
It was a mourning, a nation in mourning. They did an autopsy on him. They cut out his brain.
Yeah, it turns out he was a genius.
They put his body on a train to go to, I think it was Springfield, to be buried where he was from. And during the whole train ride, thousands and thousands and thousands of Americans lined up along the railroad that stretched like a few hundred miles, and they were all just standing there.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Paying That's their so respects cool. to the man in the hat.
I'd love to
the
see
the man
that.
Leading the nation.
That's so cool.
That's awesome. You know? And, you know, after he was assassinated, like, the war got way worse for the Southerners. Like,
no way.
It really.
You don't say.
It really.
You don't say.
Because I think maybe John Wilkes Booth and that Powell guy might have thought, hey, let's crush their morale.
They were trying to take the power back.
Right. But what it only did is it enraged the Union.
Which was already winning.
Yeah. And then they just fucking got brutal. They just took it to the South, and because they had just killed their leader, you know?
Yeah. It was pretty much like fucking... Go reaching your hand up inside of a hornet's nest and killing the queen while your hand's still in there.
Wow, man. That's a good analogy. Where do you fucking come up with this shit, man?
I tell stories. I have ideas.
You do. But one thing I got to say is, despite all the good you hear about Lincoln, I did find some mentions of...
I don't want to hear it. There's nothing bad about there Abraham
are some,
Lincoln.
There are some critics, as you might imagine, because there's critics with everything.
He was a good husband, good leader, good father.
And the things that cool that are guy. Brought up with the criticisms about him was that, so he was the leader of the Republican Party.
Yes, he was.
And it was perceived as very anti-South.
Abraham yeah, was, his, yeah, his that's whole, right. Right. That's why if you watch the movie, it can be really confusing if you don't know what the fuck is going on. Because there's a lot of people voting against other people who are in contradictory positions or parties.
Well,
it's like the Republicans don't want to fucking vote for this guy, but they should. It's almost like Trump, man.
It's confusing because it's confusing the parties fun. Represented different things. Because in those days, the Democrats were the ones who were very Southern, like leaning and even favoring things like slavery.
Yeah, the Democrats.
The Democrats. The Republicans, yeah. Lincoln's party, were actually the ones trying to abolish slavery. And so his party was perceived as like really anti-South. And they even like promised to impose import tariffs that would damage the South's economy, which would be a huge benefit to the North's industry, right? And like upon hearing that Lincoln, who was elected largely by Northern voters, would become president, Southern states quickly began seceding because they were afraid of the anti-South stance from him and his cabinet. And they didn't want to be marginalized politically within the U.S., They didn't want to feel like their voices as a whole portion, you know, region of the U.S. didn't matter.
Huh.
And it's suggested that Lincoln didn't understand how popular the idea of secession was in the South, because the response when he thought that he could use force to quickly crush any dissent when it came to them seceding. Which only poured gasoline on an already like hot-tempered group, right?
Right.
And additionally, it's argued that if any other president was elected, it may not have even come to war, because even though the North and South had a strained relationship, someone who had at least some trust and a little bit of respect by the South could have navigated a secession situation, you know, without resorting to war.
Wow.
And finally, I just want to mention that the South seceding from the United States was just that, a declaration of independence from the United States, just as the United States successfully did with Britain, right? So
he's no sure know a whole lot about history.
But rather than allow them to leave, whether it was right or wrong, Lincoln decided to go to war them into staying. And as a result of that, you know, the 620,000 people died. But also as a result of that, slavery was abolished. So I'm not here to say.
So what you're telling me is that Abraham Lincoln was a bad guy?
No.
Is that what I'm hearing?
No, but some people don't
and just
think,
like that, we lost all our listeners.
I just feel it's important to give a balanced perspective and to bring in some other points about maybe other points of view.
Right.
And
I appreciate it a lot too, because as good as Abraham Lincoln was and the stuff that he got past, he was human and humans are flawed.
Right.
And it's like a fucking chess game war. So if you want to like take something over, or there's a lot of sacrifices you got to make in order to get that.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been a real, he must have had a headache every day.
Yeah, you got to be with Mary Todd. You got to put up with her bullshit.
Old Mary Todd. Never young Todd, always old. See, but for real, like, I can see why, you know, not a lot of people want to be president.
Right.
And like, some of the smartest people in the world would never be president because there's so many different things to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you make one decision, but all these other fucking things will come with it. Like, every pro has a con.
Every person pretty much is going to hate you for one reason or another.
Right. But generally, you're trying to please the people. I lead the people. Yeah. I listen to the people.
Yeah. So
the people tell me.
Lincoln was pretty cool, and
he was trying to play cool.
Lincoln the rapper.
With his stovepipe hat. He really looked Amish. I mean, everybody did back then, but there's something weird. If you look at pictures of Abraham Lincoln, he just looks like a really weird guy. I mean, nobody really smiled back then, but he almost looks like
a meth addict,
like a vampire or something. Like he just looks weird.
I think the stress definitely got to him.
Yeah. You could see there was still some hope and some joy in him, but it was all kind of like cake. It was all kind of overgrown by the presidency.
And I mean, if you watch the movie, they got it spot on, because Daniel Day-Lewis looks like a walking corpse in that. He's just gray and talks so slow. I wanted said of me by those who knew me best that I always plucked a thistle and planted a flower where I thought a flower would grow.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
He was a poet of other people's poems. I don't know if he said one goddamn line that was his own. That was original.
You mean
everything?
The actor? 'Cause
no.
Obviously not.
Everything was quoted, which is fine. You know, the grains of time, that was taken from Shakespeare. So it was impressive that Abraham Lincoln was so well versed in literature and things, despite his humble beginnings.
Yeah.
And losing his mom and being poor and being a self-taught lawyer. Like, I bet most of the lawyers went to school in his time.
Yeah, he's self-taught. I don't think you could be a self-taught lawyer anymore. Like, yeah, I'll take this case. It's like, you don't have any schooling. You don't have your bar certificate and shit.
And unless you're 7 feet tall.
Trust me, I got this case. Just let me at him.
Yeah, everyone was in his shadow, so to speak. But he was, yeah.
Like, it's like being a self-made doctor.
He's almost like a mythical being. because you can look at pictures of him and read about him, but it's crazy that he existed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That the super tall ass, self-taught, homeschooling,
soft-spoken,
backwoods dude just ruled the country and abolished slavery and did all these other things that were good and maybe a little bad.
And him dying almost cemented that mythological. It's kind of like the Great Gatsby, where it's like you have this. You have the ability to talk.
Speak words to me, boy.
You have such a bright star, and then for it to be suddenly snuffed out just makes it even that much brighter, because for the time that it was there, it was just this beacon, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Great Gatsby.
That green light across the valley. Yeah, there's some conspiracy bullshit, too, about his assassination, which I don't buy, but I'm going to spin it anyway.
All right, spin it.
He faked his death. And you know why?
Why?
To get away from Mary Todd.
Okay, I believe it. I was skeptical, but...
I'm kidding.
It's fact.
But there is some speculation that he just faked out. He faked his death, and he apparently... Because he had dreams and shit, but he supposedly, allegedly, had premonitions about his death. And he kept talking about dying days and weeks before he got assassinated. And the last thing he said to his guard, which should have been in the fucking booth, was goodbye.
Well,
which is weird because he always said goodnight. So goodbye, the guard took as a weird thing. Because he never said goodbye.
Yeah, well, that's a very observant guard. Too bad he wasn't observant enough to stop.
It's true. It's
his
true.
President from fucking getting shot.
Mm. He got an earful. But at least he'll never have to endure an earful from old Mary Todd.
Lincoln. Man, I think that is a good amount to say about the great man Lincoln himself. What do you think?
I have to agree with you.
Well, the president...
I could tell you most stories.
No, you know, Mr. President, I think...
Back in Illinois...
I think we've had enough of your
when
stories.
When I was senator...
No.
No?
No.
How about a bedtime story for you?
This has been Mayan... And across from me, I have...
This is Dana over here, believe it or not.
And we just want to thank you guys for joining us on this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
We appreciate your support.
We really do.
We love doing this.
We really, really
We do it for you.
Only you.
And,
For freedom.
Yeah. We'll... God bless America.
God...
God bless everyone. Is that what you're gonna say? Wow, man.
Good night.
Good night.